I want to start with a familiar story to you out of the scriptures. I'll just read it to you. You know the story. The Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites.'" What an incredible story, eh? What an incredible work of blindness on David. Why do we begin with that? We begin with that because David is the perfect picture of all of us. Not murder, not adultery in the flesh, at least, I hope. But we can read this account of David and shake our heads about how thick in the head he really was when this little parable was told to him by Nathan the prophet. But dear ones, let's be honest. We can do this. We can do what David did. We can be that dull. We can be that thick. We are masters at seeing sin in others. This is what Hassan preached to us about last week. Don't judge others. Don't see the little speck of dust in your brother's eye and not see the telephone pole in your own. And the reason that this is relevant this morning is because of what we see Jesus continuing to say after he tells the people in the Sermon on the Mount not to judge. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A tree is known by its fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit." We hear this. We believe this. But many do not believe that it is about them. They do not bear good fruit, but they are convinced that this text is not talking about them. It is about others. It's amazing how we can read texts of Scripture and see how they apply to others, but know that they're not talking about me. And so we begin this message this morning about bad trees bearing bad fruit with a warning that we are not just to see that it is about someone else. The question we ask ourselves from the pulpit on to the back is this about me? It's interesting, isn't it, that this teaching of Jesus about trees bearing good fruit or bad fruit, good trees bearing good fruit, bad trees bearing bad fruit, comes right after he says, "Don't judge others." Isn't that interesting? Don't judge others. And then he starts to say, good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit. What's the first thing that enters into his audience's mind? Right, he knows my neighbor. How does Jesus know my neighbor? And he's just finished saying, don't judge others. Don't see the speck of dust in your brother's eye and miss the pole in your own. And then he says, good tree bear good fruit. That's me. Bad trees bear bad fruit. That's my neighbor. Do you think that didn't happen? You know it happened. It still happens. We are so prone to do it. This is deadly, serious stuff. Choose the word carefully. Deadly. Because the bad tree here is not a sick Christian, not a carnal Christian. It's a non-Christian. And we are all so sure that the ones Jesus was talking about when he said that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit is not me. How do you know it's not you? How do you know? I was baptized. That would be good if Jesus said all people who are baptized are good trees. That's not what he said. Because you're here. Billy Sunday said, you know, going to church no more makes you Christian than sitting in your garage makes you a car. Because you're active, because a bunch of things. But don't tune this out. I'm to ask of myself, is this me? Okay. Here's a PhD level question, all right? What is that? Well, see, you don't have a PhD, do you? It's not a trick question. What is that? Thank you very much. It's an apple. I purposely didn't wash it, so I'm telling you that, so you won't take it later, okay? Where did it come from? What kind of tree? How do you know that? Because it's an apple. What if I tell you I picked that off an orange tree? You would say I was lying. Because apples don't grow on orange trees. They grow on apple trees. That's all Jesus is saying. Here's bad fruit. It came from bad tree. Here's a non-Christian. How do you know it's a non-Christian? The way he lives. That can't come from a Christian tree. It can't. Because that kind of behavior, that kind of lifestyle, doesn't grow on Christians. That's what Jesus is saying. And you know that fruit did not come from an orange tree. But we're not always so sure about it when we talk about ourselves. And that's what Jesus is getting at. So that if I hold up my life, and if you hold up your life before people and say, where did this come from? Will the answer be, from the grace of God? Will people who see you say, that's not ordinary. That's a special tree that fell off. We talk about, you know, the nut not falling far from the tree. That's always bad news, isn't it? We never say that about good, but Jesus used it both good and bad. Good fruit comes from good trees. Bad fruit comes from bad trees. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Secondhand Lion. I was going to bring it and put it in the library, actually, for a couple of weeks, so you could. Robert Duvall, Michael Caine, and that little kid from Sixth Sense, you know, that guy. There's a scene in the movie of Secondhand Lion. These two brothers, Robert Duvall and Michael Caine, are caring for this distant nephew of theirs, and they have decided to plant a garden. And the first thing they do is buy farmer clothes. And so they wear the coveralls. They're all dressed in the coveralls. And a traveling seed salesman comes by, and they buy all these different kinds of seed. They buy the seed and they carefully mark the rows. They do what farmers do. You empty the seed packet and you keep the seed packet and you put it on the stick at the end of the row so you know what you planted until the fruit comes, and then you don't need the little packet of information anymore. And so they buy onions and corn and peas, and they mention in the scene there, they buy bok choy as well. All right. And sometime later, they are hoeing in the garden, and one of them notices that all the plants look exactly the same. The sign says peas, but the leaves that are coming up say corn. In fact, no matter what the little sign says, every row, peas, corn, onions, bok choy, they all look just like corn. It might claim to be bok choy, it might claim to be peas, but the fruit it produced proved it to be something else, and they got hornswoggled by a traveling seed salesman. Because they were so stupid as farmers, they didn't notice the difference when they put all these different peas or different seeds in the ground, and they thought it would produce the different stuff, even though they were little kernels of corn. I'm a Christian. That's what the label says. But is what grows up from me Christ? That's what Jesus is talking about here. So verse 43 says, good trees produce good fruit, bad trees produce bad fruit. Here's the little necessary warning, caveat at the beginning. This does not say that good trees never produce any bad fruit at all. Every bush will have some bad berries. Every tree will have a piece of bad fruit. You're picking the apples off the tree and there's one with a worm in it. And you dump the whole bucket and say, I'm never picking apples again. No, that's not what you would do. You would say, let's go. What's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple. That's right. And so you find a rotten one, you don't dump the whole barrel. You dump the rotten one. Now, folks, that's what your Christian life is like. We're not sinlessly perfect, and Jesus is not teaching here that there's never sin coming from a Christian. He's not saying there's never a bad fruit coming from a good tree. But if you are picking apples, and you go to this tree, and every single apple off it is rotten, worm-ridden, sour, soft, brown, yucky. If you own the orchard, that tree, you may give it a little bit of time, but if it keeps producing like that, you're going to cut it down. Because a good fruit tree is going to produce good fruit, and if it never produces good fruit, then it's not worth having. And that is Jesus' point. But he's not saying Christians never sin at all. All right? But what is the fruit here? What is the fruit? And I want to get into the context. In the section that Hassan preached from last week, he says this. Look at verse 36. Well, that's the one I preached from 2 weeks ago. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And so, there's good fruit, right? Verse 37, judge not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Good fruit is forgiving people. In verse 40, he talks about a disciple not being above his teacher. Good fruit would be good teaching. In verse 41, he talks about seeing the speck of dust and missing the pole in your own eye. And so, good fruit would be seeing our own sins accurately and not thinking that we're better than our neighbor. In verse 42, how can you say to you, oh, that's the log one. Well, it's the same thing. Recognizing that our sins need to be dealt with first. And then in verse 45, the proper use of our words, talking right. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Dear ones, does the way you talk show that you are a good tree that bears good fruit? That's what Jesus is getting at. So all of those things can be the good fruit. So what Jesus is saying here is that a real follower of his will behave like this. There may be times when a Christian gets stubborn and refuses to forgive someone, but he will come to his senses, because the Holy Spirit will not let him not come to his senses, and he'll get that fixed up. There will be times when the believer will see his neighbor's sins as huge and his own sins as small, but generally speaking, the follower of Jesus Christ will be more upset with his sins than his neighbor's. That doesn't mean there's never any sin to get angry at. Hassan covered that last week too. We should get angry at certain sins. And sometimes a church has to say, you can't do that and still be a member. So get that straight. There will be times when you teach something or pastor preaches something that isn't bang on right. But if he finds it out, he'll make it right. The bad fruit in the context here is hypocrisy. Your sins are big, mine are small. Judgmentalism, I'm better than you. Ignoring the work that needs to be done in my heart because I know God's got more work to do in yours. Teaching bad stuff may be part of the bad fruit that Jesus is talking about here. That's the immediate context, but it's not wrong to take this text, good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit, and understand it in a general sense. It's not just talking about what Jesus was talking about in the previous verses. It's a general truth. Good trees bear good fruit. I'm not going to be a lying cuss. I'm not going to have a life that is marked by godlessness if I am a believer in Jesus Christ. A few examples from Scripture. I hope this doesn't take too long. I'm sure I don't hope it as much as you do, but anyway, let's get into this. The Scriptures talk a lot about fruit. I don't remember the number. I typed into my little computer concordance the word fruit, and got hundreds of hits. And so I've whittled it down to 5 for you. But the psalm we read this morning, blessed is the man who does not walk. I'll never memorize that right. Walk, sit, stand, but I get the sinners and the mockers all mixed up. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, delights in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. He bears good fruit, and he is strong. This godly man is marked by fruitfulness. But note carefully, dear ones, in Psalm 1, that he is also marked by non-conformity to the world in which he lives. He does not sit, walk, or stand with the ungodly. And this is why he is strong, and this is why he bears good fruit. Are we bearing good fruit? If you are not, it could be, or let's put it in a question, if you are not, could it be because you walk with the wicked, stand with the sinners, or sit with the scoffers? That doesn't mean that you're to isolate yourself from ungodly people. You can't live in this world and do that. To walk with means to go along with their practices and their beliefs. To stand with means to support them. I'll stand with you in your godlessness, your ungodliness. And to sit with means to have them teach you. Teach me your philosophies. Teach me your ways. No, we can't do that. Be friends with them by all means. Love them, of course. Associate with them. You can't live in this world not associate with them. Don't sit at their feet to learn from them. Don't stand by them to support anything that's wrong. Don't walk with them to encourage it. It means along their belief system. And you know what the result of that kind of commitment is? Fruitfulness. Good fruit that comes out of good trees. Bad company, Paul says to the Corinthians, corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character. I'm not the exemption. I need to make sure, I haven't quoted this in the pulpit in a long time, I don't think, that no one takes me captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend upon the traditions of this world rather than on Christ. Then there's one in Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. They still bear fruit in old age. This is for the seniors. Eh? They are full of sap and green. I know a lot of old saps. No, that's not what that means. They still bear fruit in old age. Why hasn't God taken you home yet? Because God's not done with you yet. Did you watch Lois come up the stairs this morning to make an announcement? And I asked her, I don't know if you heard it or not, where's your cane? Because I know her children are nagging her not to go anywhere without the cane. Because she might fall because of her arthritic knee. I've been here 18 years. When I came here, she didn't own that cane. Need that cane. Are you glad to be the example of old age this morning? Not really. You're bearing fruit right now for the sermon, okay? Listen. God hasn't taken Lois home yet, and I hope he doesn't for a long time. And I know this about Lois, that as long as she can do something, she'll serve God with it. And I look down there. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I don't mind embarrassing people. I've been doing it to my family for years. But I look down there, and I see a couple married for 68 years to the same man and woman. That is stunning. I'm not 68 years old yet, you know. And young people, listen to me. Couple getting married. We got a couple of couples getting married this year. You know what you can do better than sit with me in counseling? Actually, I've refused to counsel Christine, so sit with whoever it is you're sitting with in counseling. You go to a couple that's been married 68 years and tap into them. There, I've given you work to do. Is that good? 68 years married, still serving the Lord. You know how good that is? That's great stuff. They got a ton of stuff to teach. Heather and I have been married 30 years this year. Less than half. And we should be going to Ray and Mark and saying, good night, what can you pass on? And I know one of the things Ray will say to me is, I'm amazed she stayed with me. Good stuff. They bear fruit in old age. Just the fact that they are here this morning encourages my heart. Fruitfulness. Good trees bear good fruit until we're done. And we leave this planet. If God keeps me here a long time, you know, there's Lynn. Of course, Lynn's so young, it doesn't even count. You know, teaching people once or twice a week. I don't know the schedule she maintains. Legally blind. Trying to teach people things. How good is that? That's what this is about. We don't run out. John 12:24, third one says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, bears fruit. It bears fruit. Good trees bear good fruit. Where's the seed? The seed is the word. It takes root in our heart. We're the seed. And we won't go there. We're the seed. We're the seed. And we are to die. So pretty soon, when it warms up, if it warms up this week, you could plant seeds. You can plant peas this week. They're the toughest thing You can clear the snow out of your garden. If the ground is soft enough to clear a little hole in the ground, you can plant peas. They're so tough. And when that shoots up and gets, you know, so high, rip it up. And there'll be the shell of the pea seed that you put in the ground. And then cut the stem off and plant it again. And you know what you'll get? Nothing. You get nothing. Why? That seed died. That seed died to make that plant. There's no fruitfulness without death, folks. It must die if it's going to bear fruit. You die to yourself. We read it this morning. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's where the fruitfulness is. If you will not die, you will not bear good fruit. Jesus calls you to come and die. Take up your cross. Nail it. Nail to the cross until you die. And follow me. That's what Christian life is. That's what bears good fruit. John 15:4-5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Jesus is the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You hang on to Christ. You stay tapped in to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you forsake Christ, when you wander away from Jesus, I challenge you. I'm not going to encourage you to wander away. You'll do it on your own without any encouragement. Pick that day to witness to your neighbor. Now, you won't pick that day. That won't work. He who abides in me bears fruit. The fruit is not just souls, by the way. It's a life lived for God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But that won't come if you do not abide. Stay with Christ. Hang on to Christ. Stay tapped into the vine. You cut that branch off and so that it can't get the sap that flows through it into the little branch, and it will die. Your only life is through abiding in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit. A good tree bears good fruit. What fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. At least that. That's the fruit. Good trees bear good fruit. That's the fruit. And a bunch of other stuff. All the commandments to the children of God can be called the fruit that we will bear because we're his children. And then in verse 44, Jesus says, "For each tree is known by its own fruit." Each tree is known. Each tree is known by its own fruit. That apple came from an apple tree. The orange comes from the orange tree. The pear comes from the pear tree. What are you known for? Each tree is known for its fruit. What are you known for? Some people are known as happy. Some people are known as tough. Some people are known as grumblers. Some people are known as angry. Some people are known as misery to be with. What are you known for? What's your reputation? Now, you know, never mind with your neighbors, with God. What does God know about you? What do others see? What do they hear? A tree is known by its fruit. So we began talking this morning about David being confronted by the prophet Nathan. And David was so sure that the sin that Nathan described was not his. And we were also sure that we're not the ones that Jesus is talking about when he says a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. How do you know it's not you? A tree is known by its fruit. Produce fruit agreeing with repentance is the teaching of scriptures. You say you've repented. produce fruit that agrees with that? And have you tried and failed? Good. Because if you try and fail, maybe God is saying, you need me. Pastor, how dare you? Folks, this is deadly serious. There will be people who will stand before the judge of all the earth and say, we performed miracles. We cast out demons. We preached the gospel. And Jesus will say, good for you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Good trees are known by their own fruit. He's just finished telling them that they're not to judge others. So easy to see the sin in others and overlook the sins that's ours. How does your life relate to this? I've told you this story before. I must have told you this story before. I only got about a dozen stories, and I've been here a long time. You know, the story of the man who came to church on the wintry, blustery day, and he was the only one who could show up. And the preacher decided to preach the whole thing to him. And afterwards, the man greeted him at the door and said, that was a fine sermon. It's too bad there was nobody here to hear it. And you see, we can get like that. The ones who needed it weren't here this morning. Or I hope the ones who needed it were here this morning. But I need this. You need this. And the final thing that Jesus says in verse 45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Behavior comes from the heart. Now that's meddling language. The seed contains all the information to produce the fruit. And the heart contains all the evil or good that will be acted out in the life of a person. Why did you say that? Because it was in your heart. And so we watch the couple in a spat. And they argue and they fight. And finally, one of them spits out an insult, a slur, and it crushes the other one. And she stands there, beaten, crushed, in pain, crying. And she manages to choke out a sentence. How could you say that? And what will he reply? You tell me. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. And then she will say, why did you say it? Then why did you say it? And he will offer a lengthy explanation, the heat of the moment. Da 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 da. But you can be sure of one thing he will not say, because it was in my heart. But that's the reason. Because it was in his heart. Or he wouldn't have said it. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. People could speak without using their brains. In fact, I think they might be in the majority sometimes. But they cannot speak without using their hearts. People can do things without using their brains. It's called a driver's license. But they cannot act without using their hearts. We speak of heartless people, but that's not true. There are no heartless people. Their actions are not heartless. Their actions are the product of their hearts. Road rage. Somebody cuts you off. And without thinking, because we do things without thinking, you roar past them and you cut him off. Stupid thing to do. Why did you do that? Because vengeance is in your heart. It's just in your heart. It's a reflection of your heart. Stupid, thoughtless things we do. Oh Lord, make our hearts and minds come to be one that please you. And one of the reasons we don't really believe that is because sometimes our thoughts and words are pretty bad, aren't they? Where did that thought come from? It can't be. It can't be my heart. And we can't bring ourselves to believe that such thoughts and such words actually came from here. Then where did they come from? It's TV's fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. The woman you gave me, Adam said to God. The bad people we have to live with, the people we have to work with, the preacher I have to listen to. Why can't the world just see things my way? It's not my heart. It is your heart. James 1. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And then James again says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, before we are told in the book of Genesis that God is going to destroy the world with a flood. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did God destroy the world with a flood because people were planning to do evil? No. He destroyed the world with a flood because they were doing evil. That's not what this verse says. It says that the intention of the thoughts of his heart. And that's what produced the evil that led God to destroy the world. It is not what goes into a man that defiles him, Jesus said, but what comes out of him. Dear ones, in closing, we just need to take this seriously. We need not to just go home today and forget about this. We need not just to assume that even though Jesus said this, and my fruit's not that good, that I'm okay. Pastor, I see that I may have been fooling myself, and that my fruit's not good. And that I need to make real business with God here. If you would come to me and say that, that would do your world good, because Jesus responds to that. I've been a hypocrite. I want the good things I do to truly come from my heart, and not just because I'm afraid what people will think of me if I don't do them. I've had enough of false religion and false goodness. I want the real thing. We need to be dead earnest about this, folks. Fruitlessness in the Bible is a synonym for godlessness. Jesus said, no good tree bears bad fruit. He's not being dramatic, not exaggerating the case. It doesn't mean we're sinless, but it means your lifestyle is not bad. So the final close with this. If your life is marked by bad fruit, and it does not bother you, you should be terrified. But it doesn't have to be like this. Folks, this is where all this ends up. Jesus Christ forgives sinners, and he gives the Holy Spirit, and he empowers, and you can be a bearer of good fruit, but you cannot do this on your own. The point of this sermon is not buck up. It's not pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. The point of the sermon is a bad heart cannot produce good fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. You need to become a good tree. And only God can do that. And he does it for all who truly see their sinfulness as damning them, condemning them, preventing them from living a life that's pleasing to God. Who come to him and say, here I am. With all my sin, I can't do a thing about it. Make me good. And he does. You can't bear good fruit until the tree that is your life becomes good. And you can't make it good on your own. That disease, that fruitlessness, that bad fruit, or the bad tree that produces the bad fruit, needs to be killed and replaced with healthy tissue. The heart needs to be removed and replaced by a new heart. And the master surgeon is the only one who can do that. And the master surgeon is the one who's more willing to do it for you than you are to have him do it. But if you call upon him to give you a new heart, if you call upon him to forgive you, then you can turn from your sin by his sovereign power. You've tried and failed far too long now, hasn't it been? Time to give yourself to Christ and have him really change you. And he will.